Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
If you've ever suffered a period of brain fatigue or brain fog, when your thinking and your actions became slow or slightly confused, you might have been concerned at how much it affected your life, but it can be a very difficult thing to explain to someone who hasn't experienced the same symptoms. And it can also be very hard to explain this to a medical professional. Health psychologist and neuroscientist Sabina Brennan has a new book out called Beating Brain Fog, and she joins me now. Good morning, Sabina.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. You're very welcome. I'm really interested in hearing about this and firstly hearing what is brain fog?
Well, I think the first thing to make clear is that brain fog is not a diagnosis or a disease or a disorder. Rather, it really is a sign or a symptom of an underlying health condition. It can be the side effect of a medication, the result of hormonal changes, or the consequence of dietary issues or lifestyle choices. Essentially, it is a warning sign that something is amiss, and really it's a signal to take action, to try and identify what is amiss.
How does it feel?
Well, do you know what? For some people, I've talked to a lot of people and I've experienced it myself, and I think a lot of women have experienced it, given that a lot of the underlying health conditions, disproportionately affect women, and also because of the hormonal changes we experience through pregnancy and menopause. For some people, actually, it can really feel like you've lost yourself completely. The symptoms generally are a sort of a slowing of your thinking, a slowing of your ability to take in information and process it, difficulty concentrating and problems focusing your attention, trouble remembering things or even learning new things, sort of having to get someone to say, no, sorry, what is it I have to do? Press which button? You know, that kind of way. Language issues, which can manifest as, trouble finding the right word, but also maybe substituting incorrect words or even feeling that your language isn't as fluent or as rich as it usually is. And then a fatigue. And often that fatigue, people sort of misunderstand it as a physical fatigue, but it's often a mental fatigue. When you sort of say, oh my God, I'm just too tired to think. Sorry, I can't, I need to sleep. Now, they're all things that all of us will have experienced at some point if you've had, a prolonged period of disrupted sleep or stress, or actually even if you've been ill with a virus, etc. But with brain fog, it's different because it is prolonged and it interferes with your quality of life.
So
your ability to work.
It's sustained then over a period of time, because we will all have days like that where, Absolutely. You might drive off with a coffee cup on the roof of the car.
Yes.
Or, just forget somebody's name and those various things that you've outlined there.
I sprayed hand sanitizer in my hair the other morning.
Well, there you go. You see? And I've done that with deodorant. But that doesn't mean that we have brain fog. Or does it?
No. Well, it probably means that, your brain is malfunctioning a little bit because you're not paying attention, or perhaps you have had disrupted sleep, or you're stressed. You're not present in the moment. And even a couple of nights without good sleep are going to disrupt your cognitive ability, your ability to take in new information. But no, this is much more prolonged and quite debilitating. And often people think, it can interfere with your ability to work. So something like making decisions, that kind of thing is affected. And that's our executive function, which is really quite a complex functioning. And people might think, who haven't experienced it, that, perhaps that's to do with, that will only affect you if you have a complex job that involves making decisions. But actually, it can stop people in their tracks. Even, you need your executive function to decide what to have for dinner, to figure out what ingredients you need, the order that the recipe goes in. A lot of those are actually really complex tasks, and you don't notice how complex they are because your brain normally functions properly and effortlessly.
So Sabina, does the medical profession recognize brain fatigue or brain fog?
They do recognize it, but often, you know, I've spoken to people where, you know, people with long COVID have brain fog, and, you know, doctors are recognizing it as a symptom, and they're maybe just told, look, that's just a consequence of long COVID, and they're not given any tips or tools on how to minimize it or reduce it, because you can do that. Sometimes it kind of, you know, it can feel like you're being written off or not necessarily heard, but it's possibly because it's not actually, you know, a disorder in and of itself. But a cough isn't a disorder in and of itself. Neither is frequency of urination. They're all signs that something is amiss. And I think the difference is, if you go to your doctor with a cough, he'll try to find out what the cause of it is. If you go with frequency or change in your urination patterns, you know, they'll check out whether there's something wrong with the organ involved. And essentially, you know, your brain is an organ, and if it's malfunctioning, there is a reason it's malfunctioning.
Okay, I know your line is breaking up a little bit, but we
No,
that's fine, Sabina. We can still hear you, so we'll try and carry on. You spoke earlier on about hormonal implications here, or hormonal changes affecting the brain. So we know after you have a baby, people will say, I have baby brain, and you might feel a little more cotton wool headed. Also around the time of menopause, these are the moments, you say, when you might be most susceptible to brain fatigue.
Yes, I think people don't realise that our hormones influence and regulate a huge amount of our behaviours. You know, we tend to think of hormones around our sex hormones, you know, estrogen and testosterone. But, you know, you have lots of receptors for hormones in your brain, and they influence how you behave and how you respond to things. You know, talk to any woman who has, you know, PMS, and they will feel transformed in terms of their behaviour. You know, they might be much more irritable. So the fluctuation in estrogen that we experience across the lifespan, you know, pregnancy or with menopause, can directly impact on your cognitive function, either too much estrogen or too little. Actually, even, you know, an absence of testosterone will impact on both males and females. Also, if you have a disorder that affects your hormone levels.
How do you differentiate then between a period of brain fog or brain fatigue and something more serious like the onset of dementia?
Well, the symptoms are very different between the two. You know, dementia, the symptoms, and I think that's very, very important to kind of get across, that brain fog is not a neurodegenerative condition. It is just sort of a malfunctioning of your brain, and you can reverse it, no problem. Dementia is very different. You know, it involves things like repeating stories without realizing you have, getting lost in places where you should be familiar. You know, it's a very different kind of thing to what you would experience with brain fog.
You yourself, though, with all of your expertise and your knowledge, you had a concern about this, didn't you, when you had brain fog?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I mean, we're all human. I mean, I'm a health psychologist and a neuroscientist, but I'm a human being first, you know, and my brain will just, you know, it'll go off on one just like anyone else's, you know, in terms of worry. I have some skills that can bring it back. But yes, I had a number of issues going on. So autoimmune diseases, a lot of them are associated with brain fog. And I happen to have an autoimmune disease. I also have migraine, chronic daily migraine, and that's associated with it. And I was on medications for those, and some medications can give side effects. But then on top of that, then I had menopause and I was doing a PhD at the same time. So I really did feel, you know, a huge change in my cognitive functioning. My memory was as sharp as a razor, and I really felt that wasn't happening. Now, my own mum had dementia. And so even with my own knowledge, I was kind of going, okay, I was putting it down to all the other factors, but then there was this niggling voice in the back of my head that said, well, maybe my mum had it this early, you know. Mm-hmm. So I did. I expressed my concerns to my rheumatologist, and he sent me to a neurologist who sort of said, well, you know what tests we need to do. But I had a scan and everything was fine. But I do think, you know, people should go. And it's very important in the book, you know, I talk people through, you know, possible things it could be, and essentially to give them the information and the knowledge and the power to take to their GP if they are concerned that perhaps they have an underlying condition, to have that ruled out or identified or treated.
But look, in the book you have a 30-day plan which works on all of these things. What is step one, and how does the plan eventually work for people?
Well, the 30-day plan, I really wanted, because I know myself how challenging it can be to live with brain fog, I didn't want to, set up another challenge for people. So it's a very, very gentle plan. The first week really is about sleep, about, read the whole plan overall really is just about resetting your brain, resetting your life, refreshing yourself, revitalizing yourself, putting yourself at the center. So week one really is about introducing rituals to your day that will help promote sleep. And I think everybody is experiencing sleep disturbance at the moment. And so there's a morning ritual. I say the first thing to do when you wake in the morning is to smile, but also, and a few other little exercises in the morning. But then throughout the day to make sure you get exposure to light and to manage your exposure to light in the evening time, dimming the lights from about 8 p.m. And then to actually have a retire ritual, things that you do to calm your brain down and to calm your body down and even to reduce your body temperature. Things like people often turn the heat on to have a warm bedroom. And in fact, your core body temperature needs to drop by 1 degree so that you can enter into sleep. So actually, you really need a cool bedroom to go into.
Okay,
it's just very simple things like that.
Sabina, we're getting lots of messages on this. I thought I had Alzheimer's or something until the docs eventually diagnosed hemochromatosis. The last 10 years or so have been a nightmare. It makes it very hard to work properly, reading technical manuals, doing paperwork, etc. Would hemochromatosis tally with brain fog symptoms?
Yeah, there's a lot of underlying conditions that have brain fog. And the thing that I'd like to say to people is that if you have underlying conditions, sometimes it's knock-on effects from that bring around the bring about the brain fog. So if you can address those issues, the sleep and the managing stress and learning to not to multitask, those kind of things, you will see an improvement in your symptoms anyway, if not an eradication. I've had some people who volunteered to take the plan, including someone who'd had brain fog with long COVID since last April, and she took the plan. 31-year-old woman, she took the plan in January, and she's now back at work, and her brain fog is almost completely clear. She's not completely clear every day, but she's so much better than she was. And things like tackling her sleep and actually getting back exercising, that's one thing that's key. Often with these underlying conditions, people have a physical fatigue and are afraid to exercise in case it will make them more tired.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg situation, that
you
one, isn't
have
it?
To yes you okay. have to exercise, and your brain needs you to take physical exercise.
All right, Sabina, we'll leave it there, but the book is called Beating Brain Fog, Your 30-Day Plan to Think Faster, Sharper, Better by Dr. Sabina Brennan. It's out now and published by Orion.